Scripture reading for tonight will be from 1 Kings 20, verse 40. 1 Kings 20, verse 40. While your servant was busy here and there, the man disappeared. This is your sentence. The king of Israel said, you have pronounced it yourself.
It's said one of the great inventions of the 21st century is memory foam shoe inserts. Because it helps us old people to remember what we got up for when we went to the kitchen. I don't know about that. But anyway, it kind of falls in line with what I want to talk about tonight. You know, one of the most irritating things to me in traffic is when I'm sitting at a light where you're waiting on a left-hand arrow, and there's several cars in front of you, and you know that left turn light is not going to be long, maybe 6, 7, 8 cars, and you're the 7th, 8th car, and the light turns and you don't see anybody moving, and there's nobody moving, and then finally after 10 seconds somebody finally lazily goes out into the intersection and only 3 cars get through. Either the person up front wasn't paying attention because they were surfing the net on their phone. I'm not going to speculate. It just annoys me, right? You know that those people are being distracted by something else other than driving, okay? When I see the light, I hit the gas pedal, I go, boom. I don't exceed the speed limit by too much, Mickey. I just hit the gas and I go. I want to get from where I'm at to where I'm going. So distraction is something that affects us all. There's other ways we're distracted. You can be at work and you're working on something and it's very important. And I don't know, there's about 100 different ways I can be interrupted at work now. You can call me on the phone, you can hit me up on a Teams message, you can come by my office and knock on the door. People can disrupt what you're doing. And then, okay, what was I doing? And when you go back to it and you have to spend 10 minutes rethinking what you were doing to get back to on track again, right? Distraction really is a bad thing, and I think it's something that we need to look at when it comes to our Christian life. Let's go back over to 1 Kings chapter 20, and I want to give you a little bit of background to this passage. There's a battle going on between Ahab and Ben-Hadad. Remember, Ahab is not a good king. His wife was a lady named Jezebel, if that rings any bells with you, okay? And he goes out to battle Ben-Hadad. And God gives him a victory. Amazing, okay? But Ben-Hadad weasels his way out there and makes a deal with Ahab. I'll give you all these other cities I took back if you spare my life. And so Ahab amazingly, remarkably, stupidly makes a deal. Yeah, I can do that, right? So there's another prophet in Israel at the time. Not Elijah. This is a different one. We think it's Micaiah. And he meets Ahab along the way. Let's go down to verse 38. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way and disguised himself with a bandage over his eyes. As the king passed by, he cried to the king and said, your servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man to me and said, guard this man. If for any reason he is missing, then your life shall be for his life. Or else you shall pay a talent of silver. While your servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said to him, so shall your judgment be. You yourself have decided it. Then he hastily took the bandage away from his eyes, and the king of Israel recognized him, that he was one of the prophets. He said to him, thus says the Lord, behold, you have let go out of your hand the man whom I devoted to destruction. Therefore, your life shall go for his life, and your people for his people. So the king of Israel went to his house, sullen and vexed, and came to Samaria. So this is a prophecy against Ahab. And Ahab was going to hold this man's life because he let this prisoner go in the battle. And then the man reveals himself as a prophet, and Ahab realizes his life is going to go away because he let Ben-Hadad go. But I think it's interesting that the prophet says, while your servant was busy here and there, he was gone. He acts like he was distracted. Okay? And certainly there are times when we see in the Bible where distraction has caused great grief. The Philippian jailer was so frustrated over the earthquake that he thought all the prisoners were going to escape, he was ready to kill himself. He got a little distracted. He wasn't paying attention to what was going on around him. Hey, the prisoners are still here. He was so concerned about the penalty that he wasn't understanding what reality was. Well, we as Christians, we have a job to stay on point, to stay on task, to keep our duty. Let's go over to Mark, if you will, the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. The scripture says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The one who has believed and has been baptized will be saved, but the one who has not believed will be condemned. This is also known as the Great Commission. And it's a message to all Christians that we are to go preach the word. We need to go to the people around us. We need to spread that gospel. That's our job. Go tell others about Christ. Now, there's lots of ways you can do that, right? You can have a conversation with a friend. You can act as a good example and shed your light before others and have them come and ask you. You can go be a missionary in a faraway field. You can be a tax preparer that's honest. There's lots of ways that we can fulfill the Great Commission, okay? But sometimes we get distracted and we don't pay attention to that work. We need to make known the will of God. Ephesians 3:8 says, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to enlighten all people as to what the plan of the mystery is, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the multifaceted wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. Our job is like this apostle, to go preach the word to everyone. Our job is to make known that mystery. And, you know, sometimes we're so focused on coming out of the baptistry and yay, we're saved, that we forget, hey, go tell others the good news. Go tell others what happened to you and what God did for you. Go tell others the blessings that you now have in Christ. We get distracted. I'm not saying it's a willful thing. I'm sure there is certain fear that happens in proclaiming the gospel with some. There's fear of people disrespecting you or fear of people making fun of you. I understand that's out there. I understand there's also a fear that when you proclaim a faith in something that you might have to back it up. You might have to know something about the scriptures to tell other people why. We can deal with those things if you're willing to go and teach the gospel. But many times we're just distracted. You know, Galatians 6:10 says, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." We have an opportunity to spread the gospel to all men and while we're doing good. You know, Karen and I were on the way home from church about a month ago, and there was two vehicles down here, down around Walnut, on the side of the road at the same time. I don't know what, I imagine one slid and the other slid. I don't know how they got there, but they're both there and they're in the ditch. And so we slowed down and we talked to them. "Hey, is everything okay?" "Yeah, we're fine. We got our phones, tow truck's on the way." Who knows? That might have been an opportunity if we had more time to be able to talk to them. We had to get out of traffic. But we might have said, "God blessed you today. Come up to the church building and hear more about that." That's an opportunity. Don't miss those kind of opportunities. When you see work that somebody needs in their life, an opportunity to go help out, do that. You know, Art and Phyllis are great about something, and they don't even know it. There's lots of times they say, "Hey, I heard you're busy this week. We'll take care of the building. You go do whatever you need to do." They're good about trying to help other people out that way. Okay, you don't think that's that great. I do. Okay. So anyhow, do good to others, especially those of the household of faith. Don't get distracted. When you're doing good, do it in the name of the Lord. And do it so that people understand the reason you're doing it is because you love Him and you want them to know who Christ is. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." It's easy sometimes to just sit around and watch TV. It's easy sometimes to sit back and put your headphones on and just listen to music or a podcast. It's easy to chill out, veg out. You know, there's that guy in the scriptures that when he retired, he decided he was going to build bigger barns and he was going to enjoy his life. He wasn't thinking about other people. We need to let our light shine. Jennings, don't build a bigger barn for that tractor now. You know, you build your bigger barn. It's okay. We need to be proactive in getting out and doing things for people. It's important for many ways. For many reasons that we do that. You know, if you sit around and veg out all the time, you're just going to get fat and die. That's probably not a good thing. So get out and do good things for other people. Okay? Why? To glorify God. It's a way that we put the message out there. We're working for Him. We're working for the kingdom. And anything that we've done that's good glorifies God. We also want to make sure that we understand that we're worshiping God. John 4:24 says, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in truth, in spirit and in truth." Sometimes, and I think this happens especially in the fall when football games are on till midnight. And, you know, we get up and we drag ourselves in here for Sunday morning worship. And it's pretty easy to get distracted or fall asleep or whatever. Now, nobody's going to, you know, beat up on you for that. We're glad you're here. But what heart are we coming to worship with? What spirit are we coming with? What understanding are we coming to when we are coming to worship God? Are we worshiping God in our daily actions? Are we showing others that we give all honor and praise to Him? We need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, I've heard a lot of different things about this, and to me, it's pretty basic. Truth is pretty simple, right? We follow the Word. We follow what God tells us to do. I've heard spirit bent and twisted around to mean so many things, to allow certain things. If you're worshiping in spirit, you're worshiping Him with an attitude that I want to be here. You're worshiping Him with an attitude that He is great and I am not. You're worshiping Him with a viewpoint that praise God for the work that He's done. It's your heart and your attitude. I'm sure there's other viewpoints of that, but I can't get past it. That's what it comes down to for me. You know, in this prophecy, the man who was failing was going to fail permanently. You lost the prisoner, you're going to die. That's what was going to happen to Ahab. We don't want to fail here. We don't want to fail in our job, in proclaiming Christ to others. This man, Ahab, was going to pay with his life. We want to make sure that we're found working. You know, have you ever heard that? Hey, the boss is coming around, look busy, right? I used to have a friend of mine. I went to substitute as a custodian for him for a couple of weeks when I was in high school. He was going on vacation, and he was trying to sell me on doing the job. He goes, yeah, it only takes me about a half an hour for 4 hours of work to do everything. I said, well, what do you do with the other 3.5 hours? Oh, I walk around with things in my hand and look busy. You know, he just wanted to look busy. So we need to do more than just look busy, all right? 2 Thessalonians 3:11, for we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. The early church had people who were acting like busybodies. They weren't doing anything to help the church out. You know, part of this was they believed that the Lord was coming today or next week. Okay, it doesn't matter if I do this or not. They weren't doing anything. We don't want to be that way. We want to do stuff. You know, at our men's meeting, we talked about the idea of gathering ideas of how to disperse the work among more people. Many hands make light work. Let's make sure that we're doing things. Let's look over at 1 Timothy 5:13. At the same time, they also learn to be idle, as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but they also become gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. These were widows who were not old enough to have matured. We'll just say it that way. And they became busybodies. They would go around, and not only did they not do any work, they became gossips. Don't get distracted by those kinds of things. Keep your minds focused. You know, there are Lydia is somebody who comes to mind who kept her mind focused. And when she died, all these people brought out things that she had done for them. Made clothes, made whatever it is. She did things. They spoke highly of her. That's the kind of person that we we need to be. Did you study your Bible? Did you feed the hungry? Did you clothe the naked? Let's go over to Matthew chapter 25 and verses 34 through 40. If you can't think of something to do, here's a nice list of things you can do. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" The king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." Why? Because when I was hungry, you gave me nothing. When I was thirsty, you gave me nothing. I was a stranger, you didn't invite me in. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." We get distracted with people because they're not on our own socioeconomic level. We get distracted with people because they smell bad. We get distracted with people because we think they're going to rip us off. You know, I'm guilty of that. When I'm sitting at a traffic light and a guy's walking down the median, I don't open my window. I don't like doing that. That doesn't mean that it means that I think that they're up to something bad. Okay? There's other ways to help people, right? We gather up things and take them to Goodwill. We've done benevolent work over the years. If somebody's hurting along the side of the road, sure, we try to help them out. You don't have to be stupid while you're trying to help people. You just have to try to help people. You have to have the heart to want to do so. And there's lots of people in this world that are in this situation. And if you give them a cup of water, they'll listen to you. They'll spend time trying to understand why you're doing it, what kind of person you are, who do you serve. And you may open up a door for them to be a Christian. We also need to look at Hebrews 5:12. "For though by the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the actual words of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." So this is my Josh plug, because he gathers our teachers up here, right? It's important for us to be able to be teachers. You know, our little ones need help. Our old ones need help. I need help. You know, I appreciate somebody who's willing to stand up and teach, especially when I ask some of the questions that I ask, right? I appreciate that. And I've grown because I've been able to teach. Because I'm going to tell you, I didn't have all the answers. I still don't have all the answers. But we can grab onto these elementary things and we can learn them and understand and we can mature. We need to reach out to others and teach them. And it enables us to grow personally. It enables others to get maybe a different point of view about something. It helps them to be stronger. It helps the church to be stronger. One of the things that this congregation has proven itself over a number of years, and Dana remarked on this when he was here, he'd never seen a congregation that had as many good teachers as we have. We do have a lot of men here who understand the Word and can teach it rightly. We need more. A lot is good, many's better. Okay? So I encourage you to get to a position where you can teach, or if you need a mentor or something to help you out, we want to help you grow in that. So tonight's message is to encourage you not to be distracted by the world, not to be distracted by just trying to get by here, not be distracted by bad attitudes, but to put yourself out there to grow, to put yourself out there to let your light shine, to put yourself out there so that the kingdom is seen in this area and God is glorified. This evening, if we can help you in any way to grow, if we can help you to become a Christian, we would love to do that. Please come while we stand and sing.